You're listening to a special live broadcast from the Divine Mercy Care from the Tepeyac OBGYN offices in Fairfax, Virginia. My name is Mike Washbaum, joined by Joseph Schuller, and we'll get to a lot of our friends here in a minute. But Joe, how are you today?
Happy to be here, Michael. Always great to get on the road and do a live remote.
It is. It's great to be out. It's one of our first ones since the pandemic has happened. So we're incredibly grateful for our friends here at the Divine Mercy Care and Tepeyac OBGYN offices for inviting us. The Virginia Society of Human Life is going to be a huge part of this remote, and we encourage you to check out their websites, vshl.org and divinemercycare.org. And right now, Joe, we're going to go ahead and introduce our first two guests of the hour. Olivia Gaines-Turner is the president of the Virginia Society for Human Life, the first organized state pro-life group in the country, founded in 1967. Since her own abortion in 1981, she is committed to protecting unborn children and their mothers under the law of the violence of abortion. At the national level, Mrs. Turner works for the National Right to Life Committee and has spoken in all 50 states and 17 countries abroad. She has appeared regularly in various media and before Congress defending human life. She's a familiar face at the General Assembly and brings all of her experiences to the debate in Virginia. Olivia, welcome.
So great to be on the show again, Michael. It's wonderful, Joe, to be with you. This is such an opportunity for VSHL. We really do appreciate being able to talk to listeners about what's going on. This is a very important time in our country.
Excellent. And we're going to be getting into all those issues as you just alluded to here in a second. But before we do that, we got to introduce our fourth member of this live remote. Amy McInerney has served as the Respect Life Director for the Diocese of Arlington since January of 2018. Prior to that, she served as Executive Director of the NCHLA Human Life Action and the U.S. Bishop's Grassroots Pro-Life Mobilizing Organization. She holds a law degree from the Columbus School of Law of the Catholic University of America, as well as a Bachelor of Science degree from Georgetown University. Amy, welcome.
Thank you. What a joy to be with you all.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having us down here to get this important message out to all of our listeners across the Guadalupe Radio Network. Very quickly, what is VSHL?
Well, Michael, it's as you said, it's the oldest pro-life organization in the United States, having been founded in 1967, several years before Roe v. Wade was handed down by the Supreme Court, which legalized abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason whatsoever in all 50 states. And since that time, Virginia has been one of the leaders in the country at passing solid pro-life legislation that actually is saving lives and helping mothers. So the reality is that this is a time when VSHL and the work we do is needed more than ever.
Yeah, I agree. And then we bring Amy on board, and with the Diocese of Arlington, how is your partnership combined with the VSHL?
Well, first of all, true confessions. Olivia and I have been boots on the ground in this movement. We're not using numbers, but for a long time. I like to say we're friends for life. And I'm thrilled to be here with her because she's really always been one of my heroines in this movement, her courage, her grace, her brilliance. So I'm thrilled that she is serving our state, because we know as Catholics and Christians, as baptized persons, we have a duty to proclaim the gospel of life to both sides of the aisle. It's not about politics. It's about engaging in public policy. So we, of course, have the Virginia Catholic Conference, but we also rely on our friends at Virginia Society for Human Life to help us know when to engage. Let's face it, we're all busy. I mean, we don't have time to track legislation and know which senator is doing what. And, you know, some people love that sort of thing. Some people can't wait to get up and find out in the morning what the inside baseball scores are for politics. But most of us, let's be honest, we'd rather have dental surgery without anesthesia than talk about all the stuff. And so I have to say, you know, I do rely on the work that Olivia does with Virginia Society for Human Life. They send out alerts that you can sign up for so you know when to spring into action. We often cooperate because I have the joy of knowing a lot of the volunteers in the parishes who hold up the sky and do amazing things, and some of our community leaders, physicians, and lawyers, who sometimes have a very powerful voice which is needed for testimony on legislation before the General Assembly. So sometimes we'll talk and like, who do you know? Who can you get quickly? And so we row together.
We work together all the time. One of the most extraordinary experiences that I've had as the president of Virginia Society of Human Life is to really discover people who are capable of bringing the voices of the public to the General Assembly. And Amy, in her position at the Diocese of Arlington as a Respect Life Director, has done a brilliant job. We worked very closely over the last 2 years fighting on the Equal Rights Amendment, which has a pro-abortion component, and it became clear that we were going to have to remain extremely active together as a team. So this kind of cooperation, and again here with the Tepeyac OBGYN Divine Mercy Care folks, this is the kind of cooperation that we do. It's not just about legislation. VSHL has an educational arm, and as well as our legislative arm and our political action committee. But working with Dr. John Burchowski and the team here at Divine Mercy Care Tepeyac really gives us the opportunity to put the work that we're doing into service within the community. So it's about being present at where our legislators are making laws mm-hmm. and making sure they're hearing from us. And it's about working with those who are putting pro-life action into service in the community.
So pregnancy support.
Absolutely. In fact, Amy and I, over the last year, Joe, worked with a team of people connected to the mother resource centers throughout the throughout the Northern Virginia area. The diocese has a pregnancy support network that they work with, and they bring together people. I just recently spoke to that group of people about a month ago. It was one of the first public events I did during COVID, and that was a fantastic opportunity to help those men and women who are serving the community, doing mother resources, to realize what else might be going on that could affect the work they're doing as crisis pregnancy center directors. We know that there are legislative things underway that could actually impede the ability of individuals providing service to mothers in crisis at this point in time. So Amy and I worked on that. We also worked on a much bigger project called Plan for Her, which is an interconnected website, a much larger network of programs that are available, helping mothers and families find the help that they need from everything, not just during their pregnancy, but long after their pregnancy, including educational, job training, housing, so on and so forth, legal advice, the kinds of things that we know women and their families desperately are looking for, and of course, they're never going to find at Planned Parenthood or any pro-abortion facility in the Commonwealth.
Yeah. So what are some of the issues that are on the horizon as it relates to pro-life in regards to what's being presented at the General Assembly? What can we expect here?
Well, let's get real. This is a week when everybody is thinking about what just happened in the elections and what happens next. And one of the things that is very bizarre about Virginia, as much as there may be some things still hanging in the air, and I know people listening wish I had an answer, I ain't got no answers for you folks about what's going to happen next at that level. But I can tell you this, Virginia is a weird place. We're one of only two states in the United States that has elections every single year. And that is because this year was federal elections. And the good news is we did have a good thing happen in the Virginia elections this year, and that was that the four standing pro-life congressional seats remained pro-life. We didn't lose a single pro-life congressional seat. We didn't gain any, unfortunately, but we didn't lose any. So that's really good news. That means that we're there and we're making our voices heard. The other thing that's happening next year are the elections. Generally, we're not going to talk too much about elections, but I want people to realize this is not a time to go, oh my gosh, what just happened, but rather it's a time to prepare and be aware that in Virginia next year, we elect the entire House of Delegates in Richmond and the executive branch. That means the governor, lieutenant governor, and AG. Now, right now, those are all held by pro-abortion majorities. So we have to just bite down hard and get ready to do the next step. And, of course, before we even get there, we have the General Assembly.
Yeah. One of the great things that VSHL does, Joe, on their website, vshl.org, they literally come up with
a
list of every candidate for any office that's up for election that year, and just honestly lists out the pros and cons, you know, what they stand for, what their beliefs are. And I think that helps people become educated voters.
We try. We really want people to know. And I know that Amy and I have talked a lot about how to communicate that to the folks, I mean, to people in the pews, to people in churches. And this is not only about Catholics. This is about every church. Every concerned citizen in the Commonwealth of Virginia has a responsibility to become educated before elections. And as Amy said, to stay educated during the legislative period of time, which is the winter in Virginia. It's January through early March. So we have obligations as citizens in this country, in this state, to participate where we're allowed, right, Amy?
Exactly. As we like to say, we are faithful citizens. So we have a duty to God, and we have a duty to one another in our polity. And we are, you know, if not us, who? Right? Because we are the voice for life and truth. And we have a duty by virtue of our baptism. I know people have to come out of their comfort zones a little to engage. But my goodness, if my 90-year-old dad can click, click, and send an email to let his legislators know what he expects from them, everybody can. And we have this duty because of our baptism. We are baptized into Christ Jesus, priest, prophet, and king. And you don't need me to tell you, the world needs prophets right now.
I want to tell everybody, it's one of those things where we know that folks need things to be done easily. You mentioned our website, Michael, and one of the things we did last year during the General Assembly started a brand new website link that makes it so easy for folks to connect to their legislator, their state senator, their state delegate, to the governor's mansion, to whoever needs to hear from you. And you can just keep up with us starting in January 6th, which is the opening day of this year's General Assembly. Even before that, if you go to our website and become a member, sign up for our emails, you can keep checking that link to find out both at the federal level and the state level, who do you need to communicate and on what? And all you have to do is push the button. Click the link, and you're good to go. We'll even figure out who your legislator is, who's your congressman, who's your delegate, who's your senator. This stuff is apparently extremely confusing for many Americans, so we try to make it as easy as possible. But I think when we talk about what's coming up, Amy and I have been working on this together for the last 2 years. We know that I'm going to talk about this later with our second guest on the program, about what is the effect of what happened last year and what we perceive could happen with these laws that are being passed in Virginia right now and how devastating they will be to the practice of good pro-life medicine. But what happened last year was the removal of one of the most powerful pro-life laws we had, which provided women with access to information about their unborn children, provided them with information about help that was available should they want to have their babies safely, what their legal rights were. All of that was stripped away. So we know that in just a couple of weeks, protections can go like that. So what we're facing this year are things like the removal of Virginia's parental consent law, the implementation of new taxes through Medicaid that require all taxpayers in Virginia through Medicaid to fund every single abortion, not just those allowed under the Hyde Amendment, but every abortion, to actually consider the idea of stripping away our assisted suicide ban, which threatens our disabled and elderly community. So we have an enormous amount of threat, and that's not it. There's one big one coming up we haven't talked about, but it's the Right to Abortion Amendment. It's actually called the Personal Reproductive Liberty Amendment. Sounds real nice, Personal Reproductive
Liberty. It sure does, yeah.
Yeah, Senator Sasslin introduced it last year, and we thoroughly expect him to introduce it again this year because right now, folks, there's a governor sitting in the mansion with a pen in his hand ready to sign these diabolical laws into place or stripping away of good laws that we have. So we have work ahead of us, and this is what Amy and I are going to be planning for as we connect to people in the pews, correct?
Absolutely. Can you unpack for us a little bit what the constitutional amendment is and what would be the end result of something like that passing?
I'm happy that you asked.
Before we do that,
yes.
Let me remind you, because I have a feeling
that after the break.
Right, I have a feeling we're going to get into it on this one. We are here live at the Divine Mercy Care from the Tepeyac OBGYN offices in Fairfax, Virginia, joined with the Virginia Society of Human Life, as well as the Divine Mercy Care. Check out both out, vshl.org, divinemercycare.org. Our first guests are Amy McInerney, with us, as well as Olivia Gaines-Turner, and the floor is yours, Olivia. I've had it.
Well, I'm going to bring Amy in on this, too, because we cannot successfully defeat this, what we're calling the right to abortion amendment, without everybody participating. And now, Amy's speaking here today representing the Catholic Church. I want to make it very clear right now that VSHL is not a sectarian organization. We are very secular in that anybody can be pro-life. You can be Jewish, atheist, agnostic, Catholic, Baptist, you know, anything under the sun, you can be a pro-lifer, because we all recognize that at the moment of conception, an individual new human life, that fertilization conception has started, that there is a genetic individual there who did not exist before, different than any other individual that has ever come or will come again. So from our point of view, this is an everybody issue. This is the ultimate human rights issue. Well, the other side's going to play the same hand this year. Mm-hmm. They attempted to introduce last year this so-called personal reproductive liberty amendment, the right to abortion amendment, which, as Delegate Kathy Byron referred to it not long ago at a VSHL event, she called it Roe v. Wade on crack. It essentially is an amendment that would immediately strip out every remaining pro-life protective law in the Commonwealth of Virginia and make it prohibitive to ever pass pro-life legislation again. And the reason that they want to do this, in a nutshell, is if, in fact, a case comes to the Supreme Court in the next few years that could possibly maybe reverse Roe v. Wade, they want Virginia to be a safe haven for abortion.
That was going to be my question with now Justice Barrett in her seat. Even though if they pass it at the Supreme Court, if they revoke Roe versus Wade, with what you're saying, Virginia would not be included under that?
If Roe v. Wade is overturned, it all depends on how the court would rule on something. And I'm going to be very realistic. People are very excited, very thrilled that Amy Coney Barrett's joined the court and we got all these people on the court. Nobody knows ever how Supreme Court justices will rule on anything.
Sure.
So get out of your heads right now the idea that we're weeks away or a year away from reversing Roe v. Wade. And the reversal of Roe v. Wade means the end to abortion. Because if it's simply reversed, it would throw it back to the states. That's one way they could change things. The right case has to come before the court. We actually have seen justices not vote the way we expected them to. I think Justice Kennedy comes to mind for many of us who've been around for a while. So what pro-lifers have to do is to look at what can you control right now? What can you do? How can you prepare? And that is primarily through the elections. And then secondarily, what are you doing in your community? How are you engaging with your legislative officials? How are you participating in making our culture a culture of life, as they do here at Divine Mercy Care and the Tepeyac OBGYN, and with the Respect Life offices and other church groups that are trying to change our culture? You change it from the ground up as well as from the top down. So I'm not trying to put a wet blank on it, everybody, but I'm a realist with a bold streak of optimism. And my bold streak of optimism says organizing with people like Amy and other kids in the community makes it possible for us to be ready for whatever comes next. And what are you doing on that front, Amy? Because I know getting people up and ready is going to be a big deal for you.
Right. Well, we like to partner with you to wake people up, and we're constantly reminding each other of our duty of faithful citizenship. But we are also in the trenches providing service. I can't begin to praise this OBGYN, Divine Mercy Care, enough. We partner with them to bring babies, I like to say, from soup to nuts, from the beginning of pregnancy all the way through to delivery. One of the other things that I like to call it a front line, there are people who pray all year round on the sidewalk in front of the abortion centers. And it's not just during 40 Days for Life, which is a beautiful thing, and many more people come out. But we have the ability to partner, to row together. You and I, waking people up, the diocese and Divine Mercy Care and OBGYN, Tepeyac. We just call you Tepeyac. Is that okay? Because we love you. We just, first names, right? We call you Tepeyac. We work together all the time. So what a joy it was for me recently to be on the sidewalk talking to a man, immigrant who's had a wife in very ill health, who said, he came out of the abortion clinic, he said, they just want my money. I said, his wife had medical issues. I said, she needs real doctors who love women, who respect women. And we sent her to Tepeyac. You know, without us all doing our part, we're all perhaps running in different tracks, but we're all running in the same direction, and we're all together, and we're not competing with one another. And this is, I think, a beautiful thing that we are all partnering, and it's a joy, and it's a privilege, and it's a responsibility that we have. So, plug in, see what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do, because your particular gifts are going to call you forward in a particular area. But, we don't all have to do the same thing, but we all have to be doing something. And I would say that everybody can engage with the legislative advocacy, because you make it so – VSHL and the VCC, they make it so easy.
I have a quick question for Amy that I want everybody to listen to. Amy, you've done this before, but you're also, you were new at it last year when you came down to the General Assembly. You never worked at the General, done anything lobbying-wise. Would you tell people, is it scary? Is it hard? Is it complicated to talk to a legislator?
Absolutely not. Now, I, you know, true confessions here. I love to talk. My mother says I was born talking, and I get that that's not everybody's vibe. In fact, my daughter studied psychology at William & Mary, and she's like, Mom, studies show that most people would rather swim with sharks than do public speaking. I'm like, really? So, I, you know, for me, if you will let me talk to you, I will talk to you. And but I get that that's not everybody's thing. But we did mobilize, you and I. We got our parish people out for the ERA kerfuffle that went on. And I had folks coming out of their comfort zone. We, again, made it easy for them. We gave them talking points, so it's an easy lift. All you need is the courage to stand up. I told one high school student, I said, can you read aloud in public? And she said, yes. And she, I said, would you be willing? And this was at the county level. And this young lady, not even old enough to vote yet, stood up and testified to her county board of supervisors when they were trying to pull the wool over people's eyes about ERA. And she did a beautiful job. And, you know, the members of the supervisors called her out. So I'm saying everyone can do this. And the Holy Spirit gives you the grace you need to do what you need to do when you need to do it. So just put yourself as, you know, we've always said, John Paul the Great said, put yourself at the service of life. Mm-hmm. Because we need you. We need everybody. We need you to engage. And, you know, I will say that I'm, of course, as a faithful Catholic, I'm a member of the Virginia Catholic Conference Network. But yesterday I renewed my membership with the Virginia Society of Human Life because I trust you implicitly. I think the work that you're doing is amazing. And we all need, everybody needs to plug in.
So you get, you know, I was about to ask my question. I'm Joe listener here, average Joe listener, and I'm thinking, wow, all this stuff is going on, right? I didn't have an idea as to the vastness of this and getting involved. And you gave some great examples of how to get involved, particularly young people. I think that's fantastic. But as easy as you make it on the VSHL website to dial up your legislator or, you know, send them an email, how can you make it easy for people to dip their toe in the water and, like you said, Amy, you know, become witnesses for Christ, become witnesses for pro-life? How do you make it easier for them to get involved? Boots on the ground.
I think a great way to start for a lot of people is calling their local PRC, the Pregnancy Resource Center, and saying, do you guys need something? Do you need extra handy wipes right now because of COVID? Do you need, you know, some baby blankets? What do you need? Just going and purchasing something that somebody at these organizations needs, you've participated, you've contributed, and then you might meet someone there, and they say, well, we're also doing this next week. Could you help us with that? And you continue to get more and more involved. I think reading what's going on. You don't have to be an expert on everything. Trust me. I mean, I've done this. I work at the National Right to Life Committee as well as VSHL. And one of the things I've learned is you need to learn enough to know enough. And so why we try to provide people with information is to make sure that they're being factual. I'm a big believer that do not say something if you cannot prove that it's fact. In the pro-life movement, that's essential. Do not go off with Facebook rumors or anything else that's going on. It's very important that what we say is actually factual. And so that's one of the things that I appreciate Amy saying, what she says about VSHL. I would say the same thing for the diocesan resources for the Catholic Church up here and Richmond as well. I think VSHL, Virginia Society of Human Life, has a reputation for being extremely factual. One of the things legislators tell me all the time is, if you say it's true, we believe you. Because we do not send them down a rabbit warren to some place that will get them tied up in knots with something that isn't accurate. It's absolutely essential if you're going to ask people to do the work of saving lives that you be as clear as you can. So one of the things I think is just go out and say hello. Go, if you're at your parish, every parish is trying to have a Respect Life group, right? Join it.
Absolutely, right? And this is for our Catholic listeners in the Diocese of Arlington. You know that we have typically in every parish, there's a volunteer who is the Respect Life coordinator. So there's a committee. They're working on public education. They're working on direct service. They're working on prayer and worship. We have the second Tuesday of every month in our diocese. We have a holy hour at 7 p.m. that prays specifically for healing in families with a special intention for all the abortion injured who have not yet sought the mercy of Christ. So that's a monthly thing you can plug in now, even remotely to that. To your point, Joe, how do people you know, plug in. Well, the first thing is put your phone down and pay attention. Look around. There's stuff going on at your parish. We have parish-based pregnancy support called the Gabriel Project, where we walk with moms in need from the beginning. And sometimes it's a family in a crisis pregnancy, and dad's lost his job, and we plug them in with Catholic Charities. And, you know, it's a total package. But sometimes, too, it's just a young couple who's moved here. They know no one. They're having their first baby. Mom's 3,000 miles away and can't get here. We get our arms around them, and we help them. Like, what are you going to baptize, baby? What name are we going to give them? You know, we make them part of the body of Christ. This is also important. The spiritual aspect of it is also key.
We have a couple more minutes left with Amy McInerney before we bring on our next guest. Joe mentioned boots on the ground, and when I hear that and coming up towards the end of the year, leading into 2021, one of the things that automatically comes to mind is the March for Life and the Virginia March for Life as well. With the pandemic, where it stands right now, what is the status of the March for Life?
So the National March for Life, if you go to marchforlife.org, which is their website, they say we are marching no matter what and that it's more important now than ever. So the march is on. The Virginia March for Life, we have a date of April 7th, Olivia, mm-hmm. is that right? Yeah. So as what we know right now, that's also going to happen. And it's important. And to Olivia's earlier point, last year at the Virginia March for Life, which was only the second one, we had busloads of parishioners come and flood the halls of the Pocahontas building. Isn't that fun to say, the Pocahontas building?
That's where the legislators have their offices.
And they might have been shaking in their sneakers, but they went and they left a message, or they signed a book, or they spoke to an aide, and their voices were heard. So it's very important.
The March for Life is an amazing thing. We don't know what's going to happen with COVID. We think possibly the General Assembly will be meeting remotely like they did all summer in their special session in Richmond. But I zoomed in to hearings, and people will be able to sign up and zoom in. So you can do that. I want to say something about talking to a legislator. They're in their own backyard. They're in their offices. We keep talking about people being afraid to talk to them. Legislators are just like you and me. They got up this morning and they had to brush their teeth, just like the rest of us. We elect them. They work for us. You don't ever be rude. You never, ever tell something that isn't factual. You always remember the dignity of the office you've asked them to serve in, but remember that they work for you. If this individual, whether you voted for them or not, they now hold the representation of your district, your backyard. So remembering that allows, I think, a lot of freedom in talk. That's the American way. We talk to each other because we're Americans, not because they're gods or kings, right, Joe? I mean, this is
absolutely,
that's how we are as Americans. So I want people to not be afraid, but to realize they have an opportunity. And one quick thing about the march, we think it'll happen in person. Heaven knows by then there might be vaccines for everybody. But I think right now the opportunity to get involved is with the General Assembly. It's by checking out our website, checking out the legislative alert. Right now we already have the first alert of the session is already up there, asking people to send messages to their legislators regarding Delegate Marcia Price's bill, which would require all taxpayers to fund all abortions through our Medicaid program in Virginia. So you can immediately, right now, before they even get into Dodge in January, make your voice heard about how you want your taxes being spent through our Medicaid program. So these are things that are happening, and you may not even know it, but you can already be engaged. It's not like you have to do something every day. You can pray every day if you're a praying person. If you're not a praying person, you can keep a positive thought about, send a message on Facebook that says, you know, you believe life has value. You can share things from the VSHL Facebook page that you think your friends ought to know about. It's always about just finding new ways to connect. And right now in COVID, let's get creative.
Yeah. Speaking of connecting, Amy, before we say goodbye, what's the best way for people to get in contact with you if they want to become active in their parishes?
Sure. Well, they should go to arlingtondiocese.org, click on the tab that says Marriage and Family Life, and then in red there you'll see Respect Life. That'll take you to the Respect Life landing page. Tons of information there. Or just shoot me an email at respectlife@arlingtondiocese.org.
That's respectlife@arlingtondiocese.org. Amy McInerney, the life director for the diocese, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for all the brilliant information.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to talk with good friends, good people doing good things. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to 1160 AM WMET 103.1 FM. If you're listening down here in the Falls Church area, we're at the Divine Mercy Care from the Tepeyac OBGYN offices in Fairfax, Virginia. Olivia Gaines Turner, the president of the Virginia Society of Human Life, is with us, keeping us up to date on everything coming about as it relates to the General Assembly with the pro-life issues at hand. And as we get ready to bring on our next guest, Joe, you know, we're hearing a lot of great things that we as lay people, as Catholics, but also the non-Catholics, can do to get involved.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of good points made by our guests, and I think it's just paying attention, as they said, you know, putting down the phone, paying attention, getting involved, taking a step, and seeing what's coming down the pike, because it is changing.
Yeah,
you know, things are changing.
And the website again is vshl.org, Virginia Society of Human Life, vshl.org. And if you want to find out more about the Divine Mercy Care in the Tepeyac OBGYN offices, it's divinemercycare.org. Divinemercycare.org is the place to go. And speaking of Divine Mercy Care, Joe, I'm going to let you introduce our next guest.
Hey, I don't think he needs an introduction. Dr. John Burchowski, welcome to the special report here hosted by the Virginia Society of Human Life. Welcome.
Oh, it's great to be with you, especially you, Joe, after what growing up with you and your family up in North Jersey.
Well, you know, it's funny, Dr. John, I was just looking at Michael's socks, and they look like Orioles socks. I remember your dad was a huge Orioles fan, wasn't he?
I still am, yes.
Oh.
we all grew up, he grew up in Baltimore.
So. Oh, very nice. Letters.
And we used to listen late at night, actually, to AM radio, WBAL.
So oh, yeah.
A plug for this wonderful station.
AM radio is still going strong.
It is.
Yeah. Right. Awesome. That's great stuff. So, I mean, I think we could spend the entire rest of this remote talking about Joe growing up, but we don't want to do that. I think it'd be fun.
I'd be interested.
I would be too, but maybe we could set up another one for another time. Can you give us a brief rundown? You know, what happens at Divine Mercy Care?
So Divine Mercy Care is the umbrella for Tepeyac OBGYN. We're a pro-life, faith-filled Catholic, sometimes with a big C, sometimes with a small C, OBGYN practice. We provide excellent, comprehensive, cooperative health care for all women. So we have staff from all different backgrounds and patients from all different backgrounds. And we are an OBGYN practice. What I loved Amy talking about was rowing together, doing our job. Well, the reality is there's not that many docs out there who are really supporting pregnancy centers and kind of reaching out to the community and being both one foot in the pro-life world as well as in the faithful world. Well, we say to those, we're both. And so we practice, our practice of medicine is seeing women of all types, including pregnant women. DMC helps us raise the money because we're a not-for-profit. We collaborate, cooperate, and we actually turn community into communion because of people like Amy and people like Olivia about providing good information, because there are people out there doing the politics. There are people out there doing the good education. And so we have to partner with them. And DMC, Divine Mercy Care, helps us raise the funds and awareness to take our medical practice, which is what we are, we're OBGYNs, all board certified with a wonderful midwife, and to actually see patients, because both the law and the church affect people's lives, and they want something better, and medically, abortion is still a medical procedure, as far as I know, with incredible ripple effects throughout the human psyche, the family, grandparents, cousins. Think about it. It's been legal for a long time now, right? Well, we are a practice here in Northern Virginia. We've been here for 26 years as a medical practice. We've gone nonprofit so we can collaboratively work with the churches. What Gabriel Project has done for us, amazing. We get people from all over the region, actually. We see a lot of Carhartt's failures or people who don't make it, 40 Days for Life, and all those people that Amy talked about who pray outside. It's spiritual, it's political, it's social, and it's medical. And so DMC enables us to flesh that out and to live it every day here at Tepeyac OBGYN.
That's a great transition, Dr. Prochaska. A single day. Tell us, I know from personal knowledge here, I mean, you've told me, you could deliver six babies in a day. The same day you're talking to medical colleges about pro-life medicine. Tell me what a day in your life is like before we get into our...
You know, I'm a physician, and people are getting sick and tired of the lack of time spent with them. You know, there's a sacramentality of time. There's a sacramentality of everything around us. The Eucharist for us Catholics is pretty real. The Word of God for all of us Christians is real. So all of a sudden, if you have the eyes to see, you see it all around you, and you see it almost in a secular way. And so we see patients here every day. On Sunday, we delivered a 29-week mom with a severely growth-restricted baby with one umbilical artery. The baby weighed 700 grams. Wow. But because of excellent medicine, the baby is thriving, believe it or not, in a NICU, in a neonatal intensive care. A few weeks ago, we partnered with the churches, regarding a healing service for moms who lost children. We had people show up unexpected, not knowing why they were there, and a 70-year-old man goes up and tells his story of losing a child 50-something years ago. This is what Amy does every day, and this is what Olivia is doing every day on boots on the ground, so to speak. Well, I can't say speculums on the ground here because that's not really cool to say. No, of course not. But I do want to say it's seeing patients. But then on top of that, oh, by the way, there's now moms and bringing their daughters to us. So we're now seeing second generation. I had the privilege of delivering twins vaginally to a mom and a dad that I delivered from two families who came here many years ago, started the process. But on top of that, we have some incredible young students, which is what you're alluding to. We have two physician's assistants from James Madison. It's all word of mouth, folks. Yes, we believe in marketing and all that, but it's ultimately somebody going, hey, wait a second, they're different. We try to do both and. We try to see the underserved, beg for funding so we can support both Olivia as well as Amy in their respective areas. But we also, all five docs and the midwife, we educate the next generation because so many of my peers, they're a little roughed up, burned out, anxious, understandably. The new generation is out there, and I have been there with Olivia.
We have our intimate connections.
We have our intimate connections about real education.
We know what abortion really is all about.
From
the wrong side.
From the wrong side. And there's street cred, as I call it. It's street cred there. And it's not just that, but then you have the street cred of being in a church, being in the Catholic community of Arlington, that absolutely goes beyond the sound bites. The generosity of Gabriel.
I would say, Dr. John, working with development of something like PLAN, where we're seeing people who aren't necessarily connected to one particular church, but are connected beyond this much larger inclusion of people who care, who are concerned about the culture that we have created, and how do we respond to that?
Holistic, comprehensive.
Yes.
PLAN was, you know, so many of the pieces and the people of this came out of or were
what
germinated,
yeah.
Well, something at Divine Mercy. But it's not just us, because it's nobody. Just like Amy said, you got to row together. And somehow we all have to do whatever the Holy – because remember, I think the Lord knows what's – we're people of hope. Not so much hope in always the system. And I'm not even sure it's going to be done in my lifetime, because my heroes were all Eastern European men and women who lived through the 70s and 80s and 90s, and they did things because it was the right thing to do.
And that's exactly, I mean, to be honest, you and I have talked about this. People have asked me, because I've had an abortion, well, how do you, did the church make you feel guilty? Did somebody tell you wrong? The reason I do what I do, and I think the same, I can speak for John in this, Dr. John and I share this, the idea that it is the right thing to do. Justice demands that we speak. Some of us who can need to be in the public forum defending those who have no voice, be the voice for the voiceless, whether it's Amy or Dr. Pachowski or the work that me and my colleagues do through the legal angles or our elected officials who are hardcore pro-lifers and stand up against enormous odds right now, particularly in Richmond. Being pro-life as a legislator is a grueling, grueling thing to do. But it's knowing that this is what is just, this is true, this is good. And it's cool because it means that we can be the creative voices. I mean, 2 years ago, you and I, Dr. Anderson here at Divine Mercy Care at Tepeyac, we were working on a bill that would have broadened the understanding in Virginia of perinatal hospice, something that was really introduced here in Northern Virginia because of the work of Dr. Anderson and Dr. Pachowski. So, now there are 5 hospitals in Virginia that offer some form or assistance to perinatal hospice care, which is specifically for these families where a baby might be born in the crisis situation that the little one was born in up here the other day. Right. So it's thinking outside the box, isn't it, Doctor?
Absolutely.
And then going to the people that have the power to make it happen, which is our legislators, and saying, you should do this because it'll help this group of citizens, and because, this is what we can do.
Yeah, because once again, if the power in the pew motivates people to get involved, mm-hmm. and the power of the policy and the ballot, whatever the outcome is, motivates people to get involved, they still need to work with medical people on the ground to apply the fullness of the truth. And once again, that same lady that I was delivering on Sunday, poor Claire's got a phone call, an evangelical church got a phone call, and some prayer groups got a phone call. Why? Because I'm really good at what I do, but there's a limit. Meaning, I'm not the creator, I'm the created, I'm the child, I'm the son. And so therefore, you gotta bring in the whole, because that's collaborative, cooperative, excellent gynecology care for women. That's what they're really looking for. And I know we're gonna talk about some of these ominous things coming down the road at us from our people down in Richmond. But I'm telling you, it's in their hearts. They get it. Folks are beginning to realize, oh my God, what's going to happen if there are no more pro-life caregivers, providers, no more pro-life payers, no more pro-life pastor? I mean, wait a second. And so therefore, what I'm just trying to say is that this is something that collaboratively, it's not just community-based action, and it's not just doing something. Once again, if you listen to Amy very carefully and to Olivia from the secular but the collective, it's deeper than that. Mm-hmm. It is much deeper, and it's excellent care.
1160 AM, 103.1 FM, WMET, Falls Church. The Guadalupe Radio Network, live remote from Divine Mercy Care from the Tepeyac OBGYN offices here in Fairfax, Virginia, sponsored in part by the Virginia Society of Human Life, VSHL President Olivia Gaines Turner, as well as Dr. John Petrowski is with us here. We encourage you to check out their websites, vshl.org, divinemercycare.org. We're with you till the top of the hour. Moving forward with this conversation and the very impassioned conversation as well, I want to talk about what are realistic pro-life goals for the upcoming year.
Before we get to that, I'd like to ask Dr. John something.
Yeah, please.
Because it's something I think he can articulate very well. And that is, we know that last year they stripped away one of the most powerful protective laws that had been in place for 14, it took 14 years to pass it, had been in place since 2002. And that was the ability for physicians to help women see their unborn children with the ultrasound and give them accurate informed consent. And this year we're facing the possibility of a real threat to parental consent. In Virginia, before a minor girl can get an abortion, her parents must be notified and they must give consent, or her guardian or a judge must give consent. If we continue to strip away these laws that are designed not to impose burdens, but rather to respect the intelligence of women and their ability to be protected and to get information when they need it, and the ability of parents to protect their minor age daughters, what do you see from a physician's point of view happening to the women in this country, in our state? Or your thoughts on this whole process in general,
laws? Please, this is I spend a lot of my time during the day going through paper hoops, jumping through forms to try my best to educate my patients fully about what I'm going to do to them, right? I grew up, I mean, I'm 60, and I can tell you that the 80-year-olds above me didn't talk a lot towards their patients. It was a patriarchal system. It was just, you know, this is what we're going to do, so here, buck up and do it. But we don't do that anymore. Thank God. We actually inform people. We give them real options. Yes, there was a time in my life many years ago that I railroaded mostly poor people into getting sterilized. So if you think you're, talk about real racism, real. Oh yeah, I did it as part of the liberating folks from reproductive health. Number one. Number two is, let's just talk pure medicine here. Do I need an ultrasound on a 31-year-old woman who's bleeding irregularly? You know, all you women listening on this radio station, the irregular cycle that comes, is it hormonal or is it structural? Is it plumbing? Is it a fibroid? Is it a polyp? Before you do good health care, you give them and you information. So by not giving the patient the information just on the ultrasound issue, oh, it's like a rape, they said. We do it all the time. Gentle, effective, complete, for good health care. All of a sudden now, because of something, it's an invasion of privacy?
The facts are that 98% of the time, even abortionists use ultrasounds because they need to identify exactly where the baby
is
they're
going
to kill.
But maybe that was in the day when they took the time. Once again, I got this problem, let's get it fixed. And that's where Amy and the church and the churches talk about God sanctified everything. In 7 days, he did something when no matter what you believe, whether it's literal or figurative or whatever, but he took the time to rest. He took the time to create a rhythm, a cycle. He knows what's best. So there's a lot of times where you just have to let people process this information. So one is the ultrasound. It's just good medicine to do an ultrasound. It is just good medicine to get informed consent. And now, I fully believe in medicine, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, a book by Bernie Siegel back from Yale many years ago. You know, if you make somebody laugh in the ICU, their CD4 counts and their immunology increase, like they jack up, something we really need now because our immune systems are being hit by being inside and closed. Well, I believe laughter is a good medicine. So it bucks. They leave when you do studies factor out all the different variables, laughter improves the immune system, and they actually leave the ICUs quicker and healthier. And that's what's doing. By stripping, it's not only hurting the patient's ability to understand what's going on, the reality, because deep down inside they know it, but they haven't been given it, but two, it's just bad medicine, absolutely bad medicine.
So the General Assembly is doing something in their pro-abortion majority that we've been told is very bad, and that is they are practicing bad medicine by stripping away positive pro-life laws that respect and protect mother and child. And so I think I will be turning to the doctors here at Tepeyac, as I turn to many of our pro-life doctors throughout Virginia, to be assisting us as we perhaps even need testimony. They've come before. Dr. John has testified many times with us at VSHLs. I know we're coming kind of close to the end of the show and things are going on, but I do want to just say I really believe that if we don't work collectively and we don't find our individual places in the movement and we don't take this moment in history to do what we're called to do, we will be answerable for it. And everybody's got something they can do.
Very interested to wonder if, you know, we've been talking about Virginia legislation and the legislators in the General Assembly and all of that. Have any of them ever come up here to see what pro-life medicine is all about?
No, but many years. So you were talking about what practically VSHL does.
Yes.
VSHL has always prepared you well for whatever testimony or whatever talking. But it's not about talking points. It's not just parroting something. It's actually they give you the heart of the issue. So let me just, once again, one of the greatest, we passed a partial birth abortion bill many years ago here. Mm-hmm. Do you know who got it out of committee? Was a pro-abort grandmother from, I want to say, Virginia Beach. We went and visited her. And I simply, they asked me to tell her, because I had done them in my residency, what a DNX abortion was. She said to us right then and there, she goes, you know, I'm a grandmother, and I believe abortion should be a right of every single woman. But as a grandmother, my grandbaby should never end that way. Mm-hmm. And I believe she kind of went deeper than just a party line vote.
Right.
It went to something called grandmothering and love and comprehensiveness. And so, yeah, I think this collaboration, yeah, once again, is not about spewing talking points. It's really about trying to get them to walk a day in my shoes as someone who terminated pregnancies in abortion, but somebody who has seen better comprehensive women's health care.
So that echoes, I'm sorry to jump in here, but was listening to Catholic Answers last night at WMET. And guess what? They were only taking calls from pro-choice, people who had a pro-choice perspective. It's right to what you were just talking about. You went to the source and you had a conversation. So my question might be, how many more of those conversations are we going to have?
Those conversations are essential. You have people like myself and John. Dr. John and I both have experience in intimacy, intimately with abortion. I had one. He did them. The reality is that there are people like us walking around in every single family. Every time I speak anywhere, churches, public settings, schools, I begin by saying, let me begin by acknowledging that every person in here is connected to someone like myself who has been personally involved in an abortion experience. They are your cousin, your brother, your sister, your mother, the guy you work with, the person you play basketball with. It's someone you know and you know well. The sheer numbers and volume of abortion means that this is a damaged society. It's a wounded and injured society. And so one of the things people need to be brave enough to do is compassionately and graciously extend an invitation in conversation to someone who they think, they don't necessarily know the story, but they know that so-and-so doesn't like to talk about this or gets hostile every time the subject comes up. Thanksgiving is coming. Some of us will be with family. It is important to say, you know, I think about this a lot, and I worry mostly about the people who may have been misled into believing abortion is a rational, reasonable, good idea, and I just want the people in my family, my circle, my friends to know that they matter more to me than anything or anywhere they may have been in their life. What matters to me is their dignity, their beauty, and their importance. And by recognizing that this is not just about protecting the babies, but by actually restoring a damaged society, yes, to a place of understanding of my individual value. When I heard the words, I happen to be Catholic, when I heard the words in my church that I was loved and lovable and valuable because I am, and then I could move forward.
And that's actually, I'm going to just underline it and say that today, when people talk about dialogue, they're usually talk about setting you up, mm-hmm, virtue shaming you, mm-hmm, and then pushing you to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really just want to reiterate that by modeling for us doctors and healthcare providers, I must model compassionate, comprehensive care. Medicine for us is an act of mercy, like housing the homeless, clothing the naked. But it's not a social justice cause, because once again, that's a kind of a danger. It can be a dangerous term. And so I say, once again, if we model compassion and comprehensive excellence in medicine here, and then when we speak about impassioned, but it's going to be modeled, because you may get quickly pushed to the side or marginalized because words have changed or words are changing meaning. And we're having some challenges, right? You can't speak on college campuses. The state of Washington, they were drums and Wiccans outside praying against me, against us speaking. So once again, some of the rules of rational truth have changed. And so as long as we model honesty, directness, but real compassion, that's excellent.
My favorite compliment when I speak on a college campus is, I don't know if I agree with everything you've said, but you are so authentic. And I think it's because I want to hear you first. I tell pro-lifers this constantly. I hope people will become members of VSHL because I'll help you learn how to do this. My friends and I, Amy and John, will all work together to teach you what's going on. Because I tell people this constantly. The most important thing pro-life people can do is to shut up and listen. If I listen to you, I will know what makes you worried, afraid, unsure, concerned, and not aware of what you might be able to do, whether you're on my side or against me.
And as you taught me, it's the narrative. Mm-hmm. That's what we do in the exam room. And I just want to push something.
We have the answers. We give them the answers.
Holy hour tonight, St. Leo's in Fairfax, same church that helped us with our ceremony to celebrate the life of these children. It's in St. Louis at Fairfax tonight at 7:30. It's a wonderful holy hour, a time of real prayer.
Speaking of real prayer, as we come to the end of this show, we're going to end as we always do. Any time that Joseph and myself have the privilege of getting on air and talking to our listeners all the way up to the Archdiocese of Baltimore down here through the Diocese of Arlington and everywhere in between, let us end in prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel,
defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What an informative and passionate and powerful hour this has been. Divine Mercy Care from the Tepeyac OBGYN offices down here in Fairfax, Virginia. Remember tonight, St. Leo's in Fairfax, a holy hour. We encourage you all to make it out there as well. We encourage you all to come down to the Tepeyac offices as well and see what they're doing here. And it's absolutely wonderful and it's beautiful and it's all protecting the sanctity of life. Also encouraging you, Virginia Society of Human Life, VSHL.org, VSHL.org. There's obviously tons of issues and tons of elections coming up. Get informed, get knowledgeable about the candidates, about where they stand on certain issues, VSHL.org, DivineMercyCare.org. And, of course, we have to talk about Amy McInerney in the Diocese of Arlington. If you're interested in getting involved at the parish level, email respectlife@arlingtondiocese.org. That's respectlife@arlingtondiocese.org. Joe, we've done a bunch of these. This is one of the more impassioned, more powerful remotes that we've had the privilege of being a part of.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
All right. And,
thank you. We appreciate it so much.
It's absolutely a pleasure. We look forward to staying up to date with all of the pro-life issues as they come down the line here in 2021 and moving on forward. We encourage, again, everybody to come on down to the Divine Mercy Care here at the Tepeyac OBGYN offices, DivineMercyCare.org. Go to the Virginia Society of Human Life, VSHL.org. And, of course, stay involved at the parish level here in the Diocese of Arlington. Also in the Archdiocese of Washington and the Archdiocese of Baltimore, too, if you're listening out there. RespectLife@ArlingtonDiocese.org. But you can also, wherever you're listening, go to your local Diocese, Archdiocesan websites, and find out how you can get involved at that level as well. My name is Mike Washbaugh, and that's Joe Schuler for Olivia Gaines Turner, Dr. John Prochowski, and Amy McInerney. This has been a special broadcast of 1160 AM WMET 103.1 FM Falls Church. Have a safe day, have a blessed day, and we'll talk to you all later.